Happy Sabbath, everyone. Well, this message, I've been working on this for a while. I found a study years ago by a gentleman online. Honestly, I don't even remember his name. It's been so long. But it's called Satan's Breastplate and the Missing Jewels. Now, I know people are thinking it sounds like an Indiana Jones movie. It's not. I promise. It's very interesting. When a study's made of the fallen angel Lucifer, a.k.a. the dragon, Satan, the old serpent, it's apparent that he was initially held in very high regard. Yahweh says that he was made perfect. And he's described in Ezekiel as being robed or clothed in a way similar to the Levite high priest. And there's one exception. Now, there are differences, obviously, but the Levite high priest had a breastplate of 12 gems, one for each tribe of Israel, while Lucifer's breastplate was made with just 9, and they were embedded in him. He's missing a row, and we're going to take a quick look at those missing 3 stones and what they represent. Now, I have some slides here. They actually converted over this time, unlike last time, so it should work out pretty good. We'll look at the story of Ezekiel describing Satan before he fell. We'll check out Satan's breastplate as described in Ezekiel 28. And we'll look at the differences between the breastplate and the high priest's breastplate in Exodus 28. I have a chart showing the different jewels and what tribe they belong to, as best I could figure out. The names of the jewels are going to vary slightly based on the version of the scripture that you're reading. Obviously, I'm going to be reading from the RSB. A few more quick points. I looked for some indication of what these stones represent, and as you can expect when you're looking online for what stones mean, it's generally a bunch of mystical nonsense. And the original Hebrew names of these stones as they appear here in the Bible are extremely obscure. There's not a lot of information given on the stones themselves, probably because Yahweh figured they'd take it to the mystical nonsense side of thing if he did. They're not commonly used, and they have no description of the stones appear anywhere else in the verses themselves. So we need to establish a foundation here. What do we know about Satan? I mean, he's the adversary. He's the main protagonist, or antagonist, if you will. Turn with me over to Ezekiel 28, verses 1 through 8. And you can read it up on a slide if you want, or you can turn to it yourself, whatever you want to do. There's a lot of reading in this, just so you know, so be prepared. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith Yahweh, because thine heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am an Elohim. I sit at the seat of Elohim in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not an Elohim. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of Elohim, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and by thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of Elohim, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, and the terrible nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness, and they shall bring thee down into the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Now, here in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 18, we kind of get more of the Satan side. The prince of Tyre or Tyrus, it depends on the version you're reading, they had a lot in common. And there was dual meanings in these scriptures. One is for a human that was, you know, acting against Yahweh. And then he just ties it in with the story of Satan. In Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 18, Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith Yahweh the Elohim, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So we can see that this man was perfect, which is strange that Yahweh would call this man perfect. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. And I highlighted the jewels for obvious reasons, because they do play an important part. Thou art anointed, the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so that thou wast on the holy mountain of Elohim. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled up the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Elohim, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries in the multitude of thine iniquities, by iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold thee. Now, we can see here there's some serious parallels between the prince of Tyre or Tyrus and Satan given to us in Scripture. As Joel was mentioning earlier, free will plays a big part in our lives. We choose to be obedient to our Father in heaven. We can also choose to be disobedient to his word and live our life exactly as we please. We can bathe in the chaos if we want to. However, there are consequences to these decisions. The same rules applied to Satan in the beginning before his fall. And we can see this in the story that he gave. Yahweh had created him perfect. And Satan turned his back on Yahweh. He lifted his heart to the point that what he wanted, to be Elohim. That's what he wanted. What he had was not good enough. And so the parallels here between Satan and the prince are they both proclaim themselves as Elohim. They claimed Yahweh's throne as their own. They were both wiser than Daniel. They amassed vast wealth. Their pride overcame them. And both will be brought down to the pit. Now, let's see. These verses are of dual meaning. Like I said earlier, clearly Yahweh is talking to the prince, but also he's also speaking of Satan. These first 18 verses really paint a picture of the sin of the king of Tyre, or the prince of Tyre, excuse me, in Ezekiel's time, but also the sins that caused Satan to fall to begin with. Now that we have established this groundwork, we can focus on the breastplates themselves. So, again, in Ezekiel 28, verse 13, it tells us that he was clothed, every precious stone was his covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Now, these here, and it's amazing the similarities. It really is. It blew me away when I first discovered it. The key is finding the differences. So what jewels are missing from the breastplate, or from Satan that we saw in Ezekiel? What tribes do they represent, and why is this important? Now, the high priest's breastplate in Exodus 28, you can turn over there or read the slides. And this is very, very important. Starting with verse 9. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, engrave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest of the other stone, according to their birth. So it's in order of birth. That's important to note. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for the stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. Those are the ones that had the names in them. And Israel shall bear their names before Yahweh upon the shoulders for a memorial. Forgot to take out that title there. Apologize. And thou shalt make ouches of gold and two chains of pure gold. At the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of the judgment with cunning work after the work of an ephod. thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and with fine twined linen, thou shalt make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in the settings of stone, even four rows of stones. Satan had three. And the first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. Satan had those as well. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. Those were there as well. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. Those three were missing. Those were not there. In the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. So the first two onyx stones that we have are the ones that were on the shoulder pads, are the shoulder pads, shoulder plates, connecting the breastplate to the priest. And it was ordered by their birth. And so you had to dig around a little bit, but in order of birth, it's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Dan, Judah, Naphtali. That would be on one. Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin would be on the other. The key to finding the differences between the two breastplates, I mean, we know what stones are missing, but we need to know what they mean. And to do this, we have to look at the shoulder stones again, like we are here. Here, did some color coding. I looked up each stone as best I could online and put them with the corresponding corresponding tribe. Now, this order is speculated. I need to come out and say that right away. It's speculated from the birth order commanded on the onyx stones from verses 9 and 10. Because it said, just like the stones that had the names of the tribe, like unto their names and to the tribe, we don't know exactly what order these should be in. We don't know the exact order the stones are associated with the tribes. We can, however, deduce what stones are missing based on the attributes of the tribes, as shown in Genesis 49, which we will go to now. Now, this is where things start to kind of come together. And again, starting with the oldest, Reuben, oh, and you can turn to Genesis 49 if you'd like, verses 3 through 28. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Now, the reason I'm reading through all 12 is because I need to put them in context, so just bear with me. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou went up to thy father's bed and despised it when he went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. My soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah as a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his donkey unto the colt, the choice vine, he washed his garment in wine, and his clothes with the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong donkey crouching down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people, as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for my salvation, O Yahweh. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even fruitful bough by the well, whose branches run over the wall. Archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Elohim of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the Elohim of thy father, whom shall help thee by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie under, and blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Might have messed that one up. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of him that was separate from his brethren. Last slide. Benjamin shall be ravenous as a wolf. In the morning shall he devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All of these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is it that their father spake unto them. Bless them, every one, according to the blessing which he blessed them. Now, we've established who these tribes were. We established what stones belong to what tribe and what the tribes represent. Now, the key to finding the differences between the two is the attributes of these tribes. Satan had some built-in limitations that Yahweh foresaw from the beginning. But let's focus on a few verses here. Verses 14 and 15. Issachar is a strong donkey, crouching down between two burdens. And he saw the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and came a servant unto tribute. Issachar was one of the stones that was in the order of their birth that was not embedded in Satan in the beginning. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Again, another one that was missing. Verse 20, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now these three stones were not embedded in Satan in the beginning. The jewel for Issachar is missing because Satan is not the burden bearer. Yeshua is the burden bearer. The jewel for Gad is missing because Satan's future judgment is assured. A troop overcame Yeshua, but he overcame in the end, overcame death. And the jewel for Asher is missing because Satan will never produce or is not royal seed. Yeshua is. He is the line of David, and he's the son of Yahweh. Now, again, some could argue that Joseph's stone is missing instead of Asher's. However, I believe the wording here is deliberate. Asher will bear royal dainties, or fruit. Messiah, as we know, is indeed royalty. Since the jewels were embedded in Lucifer at his creation, this would mean limitations were placed into Lucifer before he fell. And Satan's goal from the beginning was to exalt himself and usurp the throne and authority of Yahweh. In the end, Satan, as we know, will be brought down to the grave. Now, let's see. Oh, next slide. In summary, so the associated tribe, Issachar the burden bearer. I've kind of got it set up to where you can kind of contrast the two. Issachar is the burden bearer. Yeshua bears the burden of all sin. Satan begat the burden to begin with. He was the father of chaos, if you will. Gad shall overcome. Yeshua overcame death to sit at the right hand of the Father. Satan's end is assured. He will remain overcame once that happens to him. And Asher bear royal dainties or fruit. Yeshua is Yahweh's only son and soon coming king. He is of the lineage of David. We're told that in Scripture. And Satan sought to usurp Yahweh's throne. That's how he sought to become royalty, is by taking it by force. Now, obviously, there's a lot that we don't know. But the information we do have paints a picture of tragedy, just lies and betrayal, because it's obvious that Yahweh held, at one time, held him in high esteem, high regard. It said he was perfect in his ways. He was allowed into Eden. Now, no matter how wise we think we are, pride and arrogance can wreak havoc on our lives if we give in to the temptation and lean on our own understanding. It happened with Satan. It happened in Eden, as Joel mentioned. And be sure that he will try to tempt you as well, and myself. Most assume that Satan is out deceiving the world. But if there's one thing I've learned from working here at this ministry, it's that he's got the world. He's got them already wrapped around his finger. He's laser focused on the believers that choose to obey Yahweh and choose to follow things like the Sabbath and the commandments and are trying to put order into their lives. We should be humbled and trust in Yahweh completely. Well, I pray that this was interesting. That's what I tried to make it interesting anyway. It's a foggy topic for sure, but I believe we have enough information to see something. There's a contrast here, and I find it very interesting, and I pray that you did too. Yahweh bless.